This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with Martin Kilcoin, broadcasting live from Maggie O'Brien's. Big hockey game tonight. And then the next night, the U.S. national team will be playing against New Zealand in front of over 30,000 people at Busch Stadium. Joining us now is one of the great soccer players to ever come from St. Louis, the pride of Ladue High School, Becky Sauerbrunn. Becky, great to be with you. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you. How are you?
Very good. So I guess you said yesterday the best part of your trip back to St. Louis is you get to lounge on your parents' couch, eat out of the refrigerator, go back home. That must be fun.
It is fun. I mean, I don't get to come back to St. Louis very often. And so when I do, it's just really great to be around my family. My brothers are still here. Their families are still here. So it's definitely still home for me.
And playing at Busch Stadium, give us the memory from even 4 years ago. What does it mean to you? Because you don't get back often to be on that turf.
Honestly, it's one of the best environments that this team has ever played in front of. And the 40,000 plus, it was a beautiful day, great game against New Zealand. So I just have really great memories of that day that I hope we absolutely replicate again tomorrow night.
How many tickets are you responsible for?
I am only responsible for about 16 tickets for family, but then I've heard that a bunch of people, like my old high school team is coming, a bunch of my club teammates that I played with at JB Marine, they're coming, and so I wasn't responsible for a lot of tickets, but I do think I'll have a lot of people there.
Give us an idea, when you've won the World Cup the last time around, I think at this point we look at the U.S. women's team and say, boy, they're so good, they're so dominant. How much pressure is there to go and not only be in the World Cup, but to deal with that expectation that you guys are going to win it?
There is a lot of pressure. I think definitely because we're defending champions, but also we've consistently been one of the best teams in the world, so we've always had a target on our back. And so we're kind of used to that pressure. I mean, every friendly that we play, the team we're playing against is bringing their A game because they want to bring us down. And so we're used to that pressure. I think the World Cup elevates that, obviously, because there's just so many eyes on the tournament and so much riding on it. But I think we're ready for that. I think we actually really thrive under that pressure, and we play our best soccer.
Becky, you are young by every standard in this country except being a female soccer player. And you've just beaten Father Time. Were you surprised that you're getting a third World Cup? And how are you ability-wise right now as opposed to when you were 24 years old?
I'm surprised. I'm honored. I mean, it was a dream to play in a World Cup, and I you know, part of me never thought I would get the chance to. And when I first got to go to 2011, I mean, I was kind of a late addition to the roster. So this whole journey, you know, I never thought I was going to be on. So I'm beyond honored. And yeah, I'm definitely an older player on this team, but luckily as a player, I've never really relied on being the fastest or the strongest. And so luckily, I think my longevity has a lot to do with I've been trying to, throughout my career, be in the right position at the right time. And so I think, luckily, I've been able to do that and hopefully successfully enough to stay on this team for a bit longer.
And still way younger than both me and Frank. And I'm thinking 20 years ago when the famous Brandi Chastain, the Women's World Cup, you would have been maybe going into high school. Who were your soccer heroes? I'm wondering how much that World Cup influenced you and maybe – was there an ambush game, a steamers game? Give me an idea of the soccer heroes when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, growing up in St. Louis, my family would take me to ambush steamer games almost every weekend that they were playing home. So I definitely grew up watching those guys. And then when I was 14, that's when the 1999 Women's World Cup was happening. So a bunch of my club teammates and I drove to Chicago to watch a game live. And then I just remember watching the final with my dad in my living room and just watching like Carla Overbeck and Brandi Chastain making that PK and Christine Lilly saving the ball off the line. Like, they were my heroes. And that was the day that I thought, I need to know what it feels like to win one of those things. And so that was kind of the changing turning point for me and definitely putting everything I could into eventually going to a World Cup.
So I'm sure you've heard the rumors here in St. Louis that we're on the cusp of bringing an MLS team to St. Louis. How about that in your hometown?
I think it's excellent. I think St. Louis has such a rich history of soccer, and I think having an MLS team would be great for the city, and I would love to see an NWSL side as well.
Now, you're lucky. You've won a gold medal. You've won a World Cup. Is there a comparison between the two? Can you rate one over the other?
I find it really tough to rate one over the other. I think as Americans, like, we view the Olympics as something tremendous. And as a soccer player, I think soccer people also view the World Cup equally as amazing. And so I think in America, I don't think there's much difference. I think if you ask, you know, some Europeans, some South Americans, it might be a little different. But for me, the fact that I have a gold medal and I have a World Cup, World Championship, I mean, those things to me are on the same level.
We hear so often about women that play at a high level like yourself, and even high school players playing on select teams suffering injuries. I can't remember many for you. Have you been almost healthy your entire career?
Ooh, I mean, don't jinx that. But I have been very fortunate. I've had, you know, little things that have kept me out for maybe a few weeks, but nothing serious that has taken me out for months. So I've been extremely fortunate in that respect.
Well, your whole life, like from age like 10 to where you are right now, that you've never had anything significant? That's incredible.
I mean, well, let's keep that going. You know, I would like to be that for a few more years now. But yeah, I mean, I am very, very conscious of what I do off the field. I luckily play a position where I'm not being tackled. I'm the one that's tackling people, so I think that helps a little bit. And sometimes luck plays a little part in it. So, yeah, I've hopefully, you know, got a few more years of being injury-free.
Becky, thanks for your time. I think it's 34,000 last check. Tickets sold for Thursday night at Busch Stadium. U.S. Women's National Team taking on New Zealand. It's going to be a ton of fun, and I think it's going to be dry for a change around here. Have a great time Thursday, and good luck at the World Cup.
Thank you very much.
All right, Becky Sauerbrunn, the pride of Ladue High School, joining us on the press box. Hey, can you remember, now that the Blues are having this watch party on Sunday, can you ever remember that happening, that at the venue where the team actually plays in St. Louis, where they've had a watch party?
I feel like for years we've watched it on television where they cut back to the home city.
Yeah, but never are.
But I don't remember, you know, Ballpark Village, I'm sure, during some Cardinal games.
But that's not where they actually play.
And yeah, and again.
And the Dome, nobody would want to go there.
But inside the building.
Busch Stadium, no.
It'd be like being at Chaffetz during a NCAA tournament game, but I don't know that they've ever done that.
Did they do that with
like inside. But inside the actual building where they play.
What, you think they'll get 10,000? I bet they could.
That sounds high, but with the Blues' ardent fan base.
Yeah. And that beautiful Megatron, whatever that thing is called.
Yeah, the Jumbotron, I guess you could roll in a lot. The thing about it is you're there with other fans, so you get that kind of collective experience of being there. You know, it'd be even better if it was a potential clinching game, which I know is getting way ahead of ourselves. But, no, I love the idea. It does seem they've taken the outdoor party in general and moved it inside. You know, the old pre-games used to always be lined up on Clark, and now they just sort of open the doors early, which is also probably good for business. If you're going to be standing around drinking beer, you could do. I would do it at Maggie O'Brien's, if you ask me.
But absolutely, and have some better food.
Yes, and Frank, apparently, I don't know what happened, but apparently there was a box for Dom yesterday for the ages.
Well, no, we had to feed the editors because they're putting together. Okay. It's our subject of food picks this week.
Well, I was just afraid because Eddie hasn't brought any food out yet today. I was afraid maybe you took it all yesterday.
He's taunting.
That's all I'm saying, okay? We're at Maggie O'Brien's. Remember, Union Station is next to them. Pretty soon, the MLS will be next to them.
Oh, my goodness. Eddie may be able to retire.
He wouldn't, though. He loves the people too much.
Yeah.
You ready? You want to do Five for Frank?
Let's do it.
We've got Dr. Rick coming up at 11:30, but Five for Frank every day in the 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, Frank. First up, you are Zion Williamson. A lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Both. Are you disappointed?
40-inch vertical jumps, and one is 4.0, the other is 40.
Are you disappointed to be headed to New Orleans?
Yeah, because I thought, you know, that we had a great chance to go to New York. And then when L.A. got to the Final Four, play with LeBron. And now I'm going to go to New Orleans where the one superstar I could play with really doesn't want to be there. So I'm going to be playing with a bunch of young guys. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. But still, I wake up with a 40-inch vertical jump. I'm going to be a millionaire and sign a lot of, you know, a lot of contracts with endorsement deals. So I'm okay.
Does it change the future for Anthony Davis?
You know, Matt and I were talking about this earlier. I do think that it makes Anthony Davis at least think twice. I mean, it looks like that was going to be a divorce for sure. But now you play the two-man game. You got Drew Holiday down there. You got three pretty good players. I don't think that Davis is going to be back. I think he's going to be moved. But it makes if I'm Davis, I'm thinking twice about it now because a chance to play with this young buck.
And did you see the video, the Pelicans ticket office all celebrating? And then somebody called it, a media type called it embarrassing. And I thought, why is it embarrassing? If I were in the ticket office and we just won the draft lottery and I'm selling tickets down in New Orleans, I mean, I thought it made perfect sense. And I'd be celebrating too. And plus, New Orleans, not a bad place to live, right? I mean, how many people have John Goodman moved there in recent years? I mean, Yeah. You could have a little bit of fun down there.
Absolutely.
Rovell said one of the guys in the video he contacted said that their estimation is that almost every single person in that video who were sales reps made about $10,000 last night over the next 3 months. Because of the tickets
individually,
they each made 10 grand.
I'm not sure how Ravel in his little home in New York could actually compute those numbers.
No, that's what one of the guys in the room was estimating that really? The sales reps were going to make over the next 3 months.
And the Pelicans, which the cat has them moving back to St. Louis, I understand, but are they still owned by Tom Benson's daughter? Because isn't she? She's a real.
Was it the daughter or the wife?
I thought. Well, you're right. A younger wife, maybe.
Yes.
And then all the kids. The kids are bounced out of the situation.
This is like a second or third wife. And can you imagine if you're Tom Benson's kids and you think you're going to inherit this stuff, and then he gets married again, and then she gets it?
And I think there was a huge falling out with one of the kids, like in specific. But apparently, she doesn't mess around either. All right, number two, was Alex Cora correct in taking Chris Sale out? Sale had 17 strikeouts, but he was also at 108 pitches. Sox were winning the game 3-2. He pitched seven innings. They took him out. They ended up losing the game in extra innings. And apparently the fans were chanting, "We want Sale."
To break the record.
Well, 20 strikeouts has been done five times, so if he had managed four more in his final two innings, would have set the record. But it is 108 pitches.
Yeah.
That's a tough call.
It is.
Because even if he goes the next inning, I guess he could tie it and you get him out of there.
I think I would have given him another chance to see how close he would have gotten. And granted, Chris Sale's been really horrible at times this year, so you got to be careful. I always like when these managers take pitchers out when they got like a no-hitter going, I hate to see that because that young man's never going to have a chance to make history again. So. Yeah, I think I would have let him go a little bit longer, see what happened.
I didn't see the video, but apparently Chris Sale flashed a 2 and a 0, like when Cora was coming out. Like, he was thinking it, and he's real candid. And I'm sure if you're a fan at Fenway, you're thinking, it's just a game in May. I want to see history, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
You're there on probably what was a cold, crappy night.
Isn't it unbelievable, too, though, that he can be that great, and yet this season he's been so horrible? I mean, terrible at times.
The Cardinals scored 14 runs last night. In their last win, they scored 17 runs. What do you think? Tonight, feast or famine? Do you think they're back to who they'd been in the middle of these outbursts?
No, I think they're going to be absolutely fine. You know, that was a bad 11-game stretch, but before that, it was an incredible 10-game stretch. It's a really good offensive team. And with Colton Wong now getting some mojo last night, you got eight guys and seven of them you feel pretty good about. The only one you don't feel good about is the leadoff man.
I love Jack Flaherty's quote because I guess they said, hey, you had a quality start. He said, if that counts as a quality start, that's crazy.
Yeah.
To his credit, walking the leadoff, it's 11-0, and he walks the lead. Clearly, he's trying to throw strikes, but isn't that just maddening? It's 11-0, and you walk the leadoff hitter. I think John Rooney was about to jump out of the booth.
It's like,
how does that happen?
And then the way the no-hitter was broken up, that little squibber to the left side, that kind of hurt too.
All right, you are Joe Flacco. What did you mean when you said it's not my job to mentor? people are looking at Drew Lock and saying, oh, this is great. He's with a Super Bowl winning quarterback, guy who's been in the league a long time. But
I think the second part of his statement was better, where he just said, I'm here to win games. He shouldn't have said that because it just doesn't look gracious. And it's not like Locke's going to take his job in the first month of the season anyway. It just looks petty way he said it.
He has a little of the Jay Cutler kind of like, I don't give a rip.
Yeah.
That vibe that comes off a little bit. Now, granted, he's more accomplished having won a Super Bowl than Jay Cutler. But I get that sense from Flacco every once in a while. That he just doesn't really care what anyone thinks.
And it's interesting, too, Martin, because if he doesn't have that playoff run, and it wasn't just the Super Bowl, it was the entire postseason where he was great. But we'd be looking at him a lot differently because he's just been slightly above average his entire career. And then for like three or four glorious games, you know, he looked like Tom Brady.
And even if he's good in Denver and you're a Broncos fan, aren't you a little worried about Elway's ability to get a quarterback? Now, Locke may end up being the guy down the road.
Yeah.
But basically this superstar quarterback can't find one other than guys who are established and in the league for 10-plus years.
That Paxton Lynch didn't work out well, did it?
No. So we need Locke to work out for Mizzou fans, but also for the John Elway resume.
Look who's here. Floyd Irons.
Oh, no. Hold on. Oh, wait a minute. Shook Frank's hand first. We got issues. The legendary Floyd Irons is in the house.
Very nice.
I heard he might be a surprise candidate for the Lakers job, according to my staff.
I'd take him over Vogel.
I think Coach Irons is just working on getting those Vashon kids down to St. Louis U.
That's a good idea. How about, speaking of Vashon, I didn't know till yesterday.
Yeah, Maxine Waters?
I didn't know Maxine Waters. I didn't know she was.
Now, you're a lot younger than her, but.
Well, I knew about Elston. I didn't know that. How many people in St. Louis?
Yeah, I didn't know.
How many people in St. Louis knew that Maxine? I know some of the V history. I just didn't know Maxine Waters. I think of her as California.
Yeah, absolutely.
Floyd, yes. How many people in St. Louis, in percentage, knew that Maxine Waters went to Vashon?
15%. Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
I would say maybe even less.
Yeah.
See, Floyd, what can we run? We're on the same page, and now we're sideways because of Maxine Waters. I had no idea. I apologize.
Elston Howard went there? I thought he went to DeSmet.
All right, number five, Frank. This one's going to hit hard. Steak and Shake, which we know is having some financial issues, is proposing to take the cherry off the milkshake.
To save money?
They're saying if they do it across the board, their franchises, they'll save $1 million a year by removing that single cherry. If you're Steak and Shake, do you do it?
Well, to save $1 million, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Somebody actually crunched the numbers and figured it out.
Does anybody get the milkshake for the cherry?
No,
I guess it's a tradition, but I don't really.
What about the phrase?
I get sans cherry. I order it without a cherry.
Really, you do?
So you've been doing your part to help save Steak and Shake all these years.
I had no idea, but apparently.
What about the phrase, the cherry on top?
Well, let me give you an Italian restaurant reference, is that our side dish with the cream, the basilica, as opposed to the marinara, is significantly more expensive. Because that cream and butter is like one of the highest costs you can get in the restaurant business. So, like Martin, if you go to Kimal's, I encourage you to order the red sauce. Save us a little money.
By the way, Steak and Shake, they're owned by a guy. He's gone around and bought other companies. I guess he bought Maxim magazine. So what's happening in St. Louis is not all that unique. They said a lot of the franchises are struggling right now, and the ownership is out of Indianapolis. But apparently.
All right, this just in from Jeremy Rutherford. Berube confirms Thomas will play tonight, despite the fact he wasn't on the ice.
So there was some reference earlier that he might just have a maintenance day where he just didn't get out there. I don't know what it all means.
I didn't know 19-year-old kids
needed maintenance days.
Yeah.
You know what, Frank? I'm going to take a maintenance day tomorrow, i.e. I'll just take a long nap. And
yeah. We need maintenance days. Josh reporting it to Robert Thomas. Wait a minute. Game time decision. But Coach Berube just confirmed. That's the most important thing. That Thomas will play tonight.
Because there was some thought that Fabry was in. He was out there skating around. But there's no way you would take Thomas out of the lineup unless he's injured. And at this point, we don't. That's the thing that happens at the end of every playoff run. We're waiting for it, right? Well, you didn't know so-and-so had a fractured ankle. So-and-so had a dislocated shoulder.
Yeah.
We'll find all that out after the fact. All right, Five for Frank brought to you by Greenville University. Coming to you today from Maggie O'Brien's downtown St. Louis. And you can continue to get registered. Our giveaway is coming up at 3 o'clock today. Tickets to the Blues and Sharks Game 3. We'll give those away at 3 o'clock. You need to stop by and get registered.
The subject of Frank Foods pick is the Reuben Rolls. Coach, have one of those. They're unbelievable. Hot corned beef, Swiss cheese, take a plate. It's unbelievable. All right, for all of your eye care needs, Dr. Michael Jones at Quantum Vision Centers is the guy, 855-260-EYES. You won't wear glasses, you won't wear contacts again, and it takes 11 seconds to get it done. There's no better place than Quantum Vision Centers and Dr. Michael Jones. Tell them I sent you, 855-260-EYES. Maryville sponsors the phone lines. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that lovely campus in town and country. Lonnie Folks is their outstanding athletic director, and their sports are thriving. We're talking about women's soccer. Their women's soccer coach is Lori Chalupny. She's one of the best to ever come out of our town. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.